He is wonderful today. In fact, according to the Word of God, that's one of His names. Amen. He's so wonderful, that's just what the Bible says is His name. Amen. Come on, preacher, if you will. Good to have Brother Ray Bearden, Dr. Ray Bearden with us. I was talking yesterday, and he reminded me he's been preaching at Calvary for over 50 years. He's been coming back, going all the way back when Roy Goodson was the pastor here. And that obviously predates me and Preacher Wells being the pastor here. But I appreciate him. I was talking, I said, Preacher, you probably don't preach a lot of places that you can say you've been going for 50 years. And he said, no, there's not many. So we're thankful. That means two things. That means the church has stayed faithful through the years.
That's right.
The church has stayed right through the years, and it means that Brother Bearden has stayed faithful and true through the years. And amen. He likes the church, and I guess the church likes him, and so it works out good. Amen. Be fine with me if he keeps coming preaching another 25 years. Amen. If the Lord don't come back, maybe he'll let that be. All right. He's gotten, and he'll reference this, but as you pastor, I want to encourage you to go by the tables that are in the foyer. He's got a lot of things back there. Really, really, if you're a preacher, that's like a gold mine back there. That's a treasure trove. But you don't have to be a preacher. There's some good reading material and some good sermon material and message material you may want to get your hands on. You may look at something, and the Spirit of the Lord just kind of poke your heart and say, you need to read that or listen to that. And that'll be a blessing. That'll be a blessing to you and to the man of God as he's made those things available to us today. And I think they're not free.
Some of it is free. I'll tell you that.
He'll tell you all about it.
Okay. It's as free as salvation. All right, Pastor. Well, it's good to be back at Calvary. I pastored Calvary Baptist in Kingston for 33 years. And, well, there's a long story behind all of that when I stepped down and what I'm doing now. But we won't talk about that. Pastor, I like the way you run the service. Praise God, he just keeps it moving along. Isn't that good? And I'm glad for what God's still doing here. I preached in the old church over there years ago. And then I preached a lot when Brother Wells was pastor, and he preached for me, and we've been longtime friends. And I'm glad God sent you a good man to come and preach to you behind Brother Wells. And that music was good. I liked the singing. This has always been a good singing church, and I bless the Lord for that. Now, you all just relax. A preacher said, I said, when you want me to quit? He said, when you get through, when you get done, well, then you can quit. Well, at my age, you don't have to have a lot to worry about. I run out pretty fast. Brother Jordan, it was a joy to meet you. And we support his brother, and I don't know why we don't support him down at Calvary, where I'm still there with Brother Plemons, but he's in Egypt, and I met your brother, know your brother that's pastoring. That's a good family, and he had some good stuff this morning that he was sharing with you, and you need to get a hold of that, regardless if you're in missions. You're a missionary if you're breathing, if you're saved. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It's just according to the direction that God may take you. So I want you to open your Bibles to the book of the Ephesians, and then I'm in chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 of the Ephesians. And while you're turning there, I want to say something that I feel is extremely important. God really hears and answers prayer, don't he?
Yes.
I don't know how much we could thank the Lord for delivering our nation.
Right. Amen.
From out of part of the mess that we are in.
Yes, sir.
my wife's birthday. She's in heaven now. She went to heaven 4 years ago on the 10th. Her birthday was usually on election day in the nation, and it came up this time that it was on the 5th of November. And I rejoiced with her. I'm sure she must have known, because she would have been happy about the election. That's for sure. But church, let me say this. Don't forget that God heard and answered prayer of his people. We don't need to ever stop thanking the Lord for what he has done. And then our families. You know, God established the family before he did government, and God established the family even before the church, and that was in the mind of God from eternity past. Oh, you that are good families, God bless you. And it's so wonderful to see families. And I noticed the grandchildren's coming along, Brother Mark, and them, and they're enjoying that. I know how that works. You know, I'm going to read in a minute, but I'm just kind of relaxing a little, and I'm not afraid to be up here. I just want the power of God.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I tell you, the Lord is so gracious, and God is so good.
Amen.
The Lord gave us 4 boys and gave us 7 granddaughters. That was the first daughters we had. Boy, they're great. And now he's given us 8 great-grandchildren. And they are great. Granddaughters are grand, and the grandchildren is great. So just enjoy all of it. All right, let me get to the preaching. In verse number 1 of chapter number 2 of the book of Ephesians. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. This is a great verse I'm about to read. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. With Christ Jesus, by grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works that any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. He's still working on us, isn't he? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to preach today, the Lord helping me, on original sin. Original sin. Now I'm going to go back just a little bit here. And I want to give you something out of the book of Genesis. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, if we did not have chapter 3 of Genesis, we would be confused, terrible. But God didn't leave anything out when he penned these words of God in the King James Bible. And he's the one that had it done, and he's the one that gave it to us. But let's go back just a moment, and then I'll come back and give you something from this passage. You know, Satan was kicked out of heaven, and one-third the angels fell with him. Then God created man in his own image. And by the way, God created man, and then he seen that man needed a helpmate, and he took the rib from Adam, and he made woman. So we just have two that becomes one. And one of them is a man, and he ought to be a man. And then one is a woman, and she ought to be a lady. God bless the ladies. What would we do without the ladies in the home? But you need to be men of the Lord. Well, Satan comes along, and they were in innocence. Adam and Eve was in innocence. But then the devil deceived her, the woman. And then she partook of the fruit. And once she partook of the fruit, she gave to Adam, and he did eat. And when he eat, man fell. In fact, the fall of man is so much more than we can ever imagine. So we're not under innocence, but we come and we have a conscience. God put a conscience in you. Somebody said, well, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. God put a conscience in you. Right. Even if you're lost, God gave you a conscience.
Amen.
And when Adam fell, then he was the federal head of all mankind. You know what Adam did? Adam did not believe the word at this particular time. He did not only just not believe the word, but he did not obey God. That's what gets us in trouble. There's only one that's perfect, and we know, we heard them sing about him this morning, and his name is Jesus. But when you come along here with this, I want you to see the root of sin. See, every person that's born has the root of sin in them.
Yes, sir.
It's in there, and the only one that can take it out is the power of the risen Christ. So, in the midst of this, Adam disobeyed, and Adam did not believe God, and it could be, I don't know. You preachers help me. Adam knew that his wife had sinned. And Adam knew that his wife had disobeyed God. And I think I would be right. If I'm not right, then I guess I'm old enough to be wrong. But I believe that he saw his wife and she had sinned, and he so loved her that he willingly sinned. Now that's my theology. Okay? So you do what you want to with it. But the emphasis, I think, is this. Men, we must love our wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the wife is to submit herself unto the husband. And as it moves on. Now, let us come back to our text verses today. That's in Ephesians 2. Look at verse 1. And you, he's talking to the Ephesians, but he's not only talking to them, he's talking to you and me. He said, and you have he quickened. The word quickened means he's made you alive. You were dead. I was dead in my trespasses and dead in my sin. I didn't have any hope. And I did not have any power to get myself out of the mess that I was in. And if you've never come to Jesus and you don't know him, you've never repented of your sins, turned from your sins and turned to Christ, you are still dead in your trespasses and in your sins. In fact, we have a good group here today. And in every time that we meet with the group, we got those that's been quickened and they've been made alive in Christ. So they are prepared to go to be with him. But then we've got another group, and it would be, we've got out of the graveyard because God got us out of the graveyard. But if you've never been saved, you don't understand what we're talking about. You are just a graveyard, and you need to get out of your graveyard, and the only way to get out is to get to Jesus. Is that right? So what kind of condition? Let's go back there and read that a little bit. And you have the quickened who were dead, spiritually dead. See, when Adam sinned, even these little children, as precious as they are, they were born sinners. Now, I don't know what age that they come to the point of accountability, but I do know this. Everyone is responsible for your sins. You can blame God, you can blame the church, you can blame mama, and you can blame daddy, and you can blame whatever you want to. But you are just a sinner that needs to get saved. And we that are saved have been quickened by the power of God. So let us look, first of all, at the sinner's condition. The sinner's condition. He spiritually is dead. And he's going to tell us three things about where a person is before they get saved. This is a condition that all men's in before they get saved. The sinner's condition, he is spiritually dead. You don't have any power to move himself. Now, I don't believe there's a little divinity in no man. I believe that we're all just old sinners, lost without God and without hope. And all men, whether they be in India, whether they be in Egypt, where Brother Jordan's brother is, or whether they be where his other brother is pastoring, or where it be in this church or this nation, I'm telling you, all that has not come to Christ is dead in their trespasses and sin. Spiritually dead. The lost man's blind, he cannot see. I think sometimes we just don't know how lost people are. I don't think I understand how lost that I was. I know I was a terrible sinner. But he's lost, he's blind, he's doomed. He's totally they pray. I do not believe that God predestinated anybody to go to hell. I don't find that in the Bible. If I were to go back in chapter 1, I would show you, don't be scared of the word predestination. Because that's always to the saint. You're saved, you're predestined. If you're not saved, get saved. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. That's another message in itself. But man is depraved, lost. Our children and grandchildren are lost. Oh, my. But we're not only depraved, we need deliverance. Oh, look at what he said about us. In verse 2, when in time past, now this is the way you walk. Sometimes we fuss at people because they don't walk right and they don't have anything inside of them because they've not met Jesus and the Holy Ghost is not in them. How can you walk right even though you've got a little religion? Religion's destroying us. We need reality. We need Christ. He's the only one. I don't care what everybody else says about it. Everything is a cult. If there's salvation that's not found in the Christ that come from heaven, the Christ that lived upon this earth, the Christ that shed his precious blood and gave his life for your sin and his blood for my sin, and he was put in the tomb and he rose again, and he's ascended back to the Father. And there's one mediator between God and man. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. And anything else is a cult. Well, they're nice folks. A lot of nice folks that are Baptists is not saved. If they don't know Jesus, they're not saved. I'm telling you, we need it. So, we walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power. Who is that? The devil. That's who it is. The prince of the power of the air. Now, look at your word if you're reading with me or looking at your Bible. The spirit. And by the way, he's talking about man's. He's talking about another spirit. That now worketh in the children of disobedience. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. All of us were disobedient before we got saved. And I say that there may be people in here this morning that's not saved, but if you're unsaved, you're disobedient. Because that was your nature. That was my nature. I was disobedient. All of us have been disobedient. That's the first indictment we've got. We're just lost if we're not saved. And then he's got another one here. I want you to get this. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that's number two. Watch your other one. Among whom also we all had our conversation, which carries with it the meaning, our manner of life. In times past, how did you live and how did I live before we got saved? And we have to watch it now because we still got the old man to put up with and the spirit of the world and the spirit of the devil. And so let me go back and get this. In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling what? Desires of the flesh and of the mind. One reason we can't reach people now is their minds are full of everything except what their minds need to be full of. Brother James Jones, in fact, I got it on the table, he wrote a book on the mind. It's outstanding. And the only reason I mentioned that is I wanted to mention it because he's talking about the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath even as others. Oh my, that's the condition we were in. You know what it's going to take to get anybody saved? It's going to take the power of God. In Ephesians 1:19, the Bible said, and what is the exceeded greatness, and I just love this, of his power. Yes. To usward, he's talking now to saints, who believed. Have you ever believed? Yes. I always believed there was a God. I always believed there's heaven. I've always believed there was a, you know, a hell. I believe everything. You know, what they told me, that's about all I knew. But I did know that there was one, and his name was Jesus, that died for my sins. I didn't understand that until the Spirit of God through the Word of God showed me I was lost. You don't understand spiritual things until you meet the Lord. You can go to church and know verses of Scripture and all of those things. But watch it. He goes on to say, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You're saved this morning. I'm sure most of you know this because you're in a Bible church. But you are seated in heavenly places. You see, you're seated in heaven, but you're seated down here. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when he saved you, I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or I'm not of the cloth that believes that you just grow into being a Christian. I believe you grow as a Christian. But when you get saved, you're in Christ. And Christ is in you. Until you get saved, all you have is this. You're in Adam. And when God saves you, he takes you out of Adam, puts you in Christ, and you're good forever. That makes me say, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah 4 times. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, isn't it wonderful? It's a wonderful book. I get to preaching, I'm just like Job's mule when he was pawing in the desert. It may seem like sometimes we're in a desert, but we're far from that. Amen. Best thing ever happened to you is when you got saved. Right. Worst thing that ever happened to you is when you turn the gospel away. Right. Now, I intend to keep my time, but don't mean much anyway. All right. Watch it. I like this. He's in verse 21. He said, far above all principalities. Isn't it so funny when you see all this pride and everything? Somebody said, well, I don't believe in politics. I don't either. I believe in good government, though, and I do all I can to have good government. If you're here and you're a qualified person, maybe you ought to get in good government. God establishes it, and if it's of God, it's good. If it's not of God, don't make a difference if they call it church or whatever they want to call it. There's a lot of good things probably going on in this county, and probably a lot of bad things going on in this county. But I want to tell you something. Will you listen to me? Most important things going on in this county today and every day in the week is this Bible believing.
Amen.
Bible believing. God fearing. Got a preacher that preaches the word of God. That's the most important thing outside your home. Got to be. Isn't that right? Because as your home goes, so does the church. Well, I'll get off track if I'm not careful. Listen. Praise God, preacher. You got it all cleaned out up here. It's so free. Liberty. I bet the offerings are going to be good tonight for those three little girls, don't you? Amen. I think that's great that church is doing this. Let me move on. I got two more things I got to give you. Watch this. I just almost get off of course if I'm not careful. The sinner is called. Look at it. The sinner is called. Of God to salvation. God reveals himself to us as sinners. And when he reveals himself to you, then the Spirit of God is convicting you. There's no salvation where there's no conviction. You don't see yourself lost until God shows you you're lost. One preacher went somewhere to preach, and they said, "Are you here to get people saved today?" He said, "No, I'm here to try to get some folks lost today. If we can get them lost, we can get them saved." You can't get people saved that's not interested in being saved. They can go through all the programs they want to, but this thing is not a church program. It's God's program. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. The sinner's called to salvation. And the sinner is responsible. Your dad is not responsible. Your mother's not. They are responsible to tell you what's right and teach you the Bible. But you are responsible for where you choose to come to Christ as he speaks to you. Or if you turn your heart cold toward the Lord. I believe that when you hear the gospel, you hear preaching, and God speaks to you, begins to speak to you, in place you responding to the Lord, is that you harden your heart. And you come in the service and you go out, and you are in worse condition when you went out than you were when you come in. Because when God speaks to you, that's the time to move. And he speaks to you through this word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. You have, every man makes his own choice. It made no difference between America. I was glad of what the missionary said. He said he went there to preach the gospel. You don't go over there. I've seen a lot of missionaries fail, and I've for missions and done, you know, for missions. Best way to put it. But I'm telling you, you can't go over and change the culture and change all that. You're there to preach the gospel and let God change the hearts. That's what he was saying. And then when God does the work, it'll be done. So there's conviction. And there's commitment to Christ. You know, one thing that we're having a lot of problems in this country is people are not hardly committed to anything. When you come to Christ, he's Lord. A lot of people fight lordship, but you don't get saved unless you come to the Lord. This is one way to put it. Somebody said, well, I don't like that word lordship. Well, if he's not your Lord, you're not in the ship. But if he's your Lord, you're in the ship. And by the way, the water won't ever, it may get up here, but it'll never take you under. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm talking about real commitment. I was committed to my wife. We had a great life together for 63 years, 4 months and 13 days. And we loved one another and we loved our children. And the reason we did love one another and love our children, God saved us and we fell in love with Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. A changed life. Sinners called and life has changed. Now, I don't fuss at everybody about everything, but I tell you right now, you don't have to send the visitation party. If somebody really gets a hold of God and God really gets a hold of them, they'll find the church. They'll come back to the church. Now, I'm not saying now that you don't disciple people and bring them along. I think we failed in a lot of ways with that. I think you know, they're saved, bless the Lord, he'll lead them, just let them go. Well, you haven't read all the Bible. Amen. Let's go back. Let's look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, what about that? If he had not been, I never would have made it. For his great love. You just can't explain the love of God. Wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has now quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved. Yes. You're saved by God's grace. It's the gift of God. I'm trying to get through here. But I want to finish what we started. So we come to what we call conversion. Be converted. Let me read on down. Let me read verse 7. Well, let me read verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together, and we've covered that, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. The sinner is converted from sin to salvation. That's how you get in. Now let's cover that. We'll be done. For by grace are you saved through faith. The missionary greatly emphasized that word faith. Excellent job. You just have to keep building, folks. You got to stay with this Bible. We ought to stay with this Bible now more than we've ever stayed. Amen. By grace are you saved? Well, you say, well, I got saved to go to heaven. By grace you're saved from your sin, and as a result of that you're going to heaven. That's right. If you're not saved by grace, Jesus didn't save you, you're not going to heaven. You know, you can do whatever you like, but he saved us from sin, but he didn't only save us from sin, he saved us from judgment. And I like this. I want to go on down through here. Verse 8 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. I might ought to write a little tract. When I was 10 years old, they had what they call protracted meetings. I grew up in Calhoun, Georgia. And out in the country church where we went to church, when we went to church, we went to this country Baptist church and they preached the Word of God. Back in those days, a lot of times they didn't have anything any more than just service, probably twice a month. A lot of times people didn't have a way to travel. You know, you get old enough, you remember some things that folks don't understand what we are now. Well, on Saturday, they always had this big morning. They preached all the week to the church, and they just kept preaching and preaching to the church. But everybody put up the mules, and they got, if they didn't hitch up the mules to ride the church, a lot of them hitched the mules. Most of them did. And that day, they preached to sinners. People had been praying. They was praying for their loved ones to get saved. And that preacher preached that morning. And I tell you, I did not want to go to hell. I did not want to go to hell. I don't know that I understood altogether that I need to be saved from my sin, but I did not want to go to hell. I knew that. My older sister, Betty, she came and she got on her knees, and I was frightened. And I come and I prayed and I done all I knew to do. There's a real thing right here you need to get. Well, I had people that talked to me, and nobody said, well, now you're saved, you need to get baptized. You know what they told me? If you are not sure you're saved, you don't need to join the church. But I did not listen to them. I guess I deceived myself. I thought, well, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to join the church. Maybe that'll help. I guess was what I thought. So I was 10 years old, and I joined the church, and they baptized me, and I was as unfaithful as I could possibly be. You know why? Because there was no change. Jesus was not inside of me. And I lived on until I was 20. I may have told this in this church before, but I'm going to tell it again. If I can get down and not fall. All right. So I was seeing my wife. She lived up on the hill from the church, and her daddy would let her go to church with me every night, but he had a lot of rules. I went by to pick her up, and her mother said, Sue's sick. Ray, I'm sorry, but she just can't go tonight. Well, I had the best shirt on it. That I had. Country boy, had my blue jeans. And I went on down to the old church. Granny Bearden always sat here on pew 3. And she sat over there. And the preacher was preaching. She'd move her lips. She'd move her lips, but you couldn't ever hear her saying nothing. Unless God happened to come down in power, and then she'd say a lot. And I was sitting beside her, and they sing, they come for the invitation, and they sing two verses. And I'm sitting back there, not hardly knowing what's going on. And I'm on pew 3. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, spoke to me. I don't know all he said, but he said enough that I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. I knew if I didn't get saved, I was going to hell. And I said, if that preacher sings another verse, He sings another verse. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and go down there. I'm going to get up and go down there. He stepped up there and he said, I don't even know what the preacher preached on that night. The seed had already been sown. And I said, if he sang another verse, I'm going to go down there. And he said, I believe we ought to sing one more verse. It looked like he looked all the way through me and he said, this verse is for you. And it might have been.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It might have been the last warning I had. I don't know. But I know one thing. I came.
Amen.
I came down to that altar.
Listen.
I poured my soul out. I wept and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me. And I just did everything that I knew to do. That's not enough. Well, where are you going, preacher, with that? I was trying to save myself. Well, by grace, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself? So I sat down. I sat down, and the preacher came by, and he said, why did you come? I said, I come to get saved. He said, are you saved? I said, I don't think so. I don't know. I said, listen now. I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything that I know to do, but I don't have any peace. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to save myself now. He opened my Bible. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has, he said, that's present tense, everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Preacher, pastor, you know what he did? He looked me straight in the face. And he said, now, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to believe God or are you going to sit there and go to hell? Mm. See, I'd repented. I was willing to turn from my sins. I wanted to get right with God. Boy, he really was a great soul winner. He put his Bible on his arm. Got along about here. The light come on in my soul. I had the peace of God. He saved me. Now, you know, maybe it's dangerous for me to even preach like that, but that's what happened to me. It don't have to happen to you. You might get saved today going home in the car. You may get saved tonight before you go to bed. But the Lord has to save you. I apologize for preaching so long, but you all are a great congregation. We're standing. Pastor, maybe you ought to come and give the invitation. I'll say something about the books a little when you get through, if that's all right.
Candy's going to play a verse or two. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've heard a great presentation of what it would be to be saved. Some of you have been spinning your wheels, trying to figure it all out. But you come believe on the Lord today. Anybody here this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm asking you to answer in your heart. Anybody here today need to be saved? Truly be saved. I'm not talking about trying to come to church every now and then. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about water baptism. Anybody here today in your heart, you know, I'm not right with God. I need to be saved. I've heard enough preaching save the world. The last 45, 50 minutes, you've heard enough gospel to save the world. Do you need to be saved? Sin is man's greatest problem.
Yes.
Man's greatest problem, sin. Thank God the only solution is provided by that great gift of Jesus Christ. You can be saved. God's not willing any should perish. All should come to repentance. It's God's desire for you to be saved. Preacher, talk about your responsibility before God is to respond to that gospel message. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done business with the Lord? That's what the old timers used to say. You got to do business with God. They're not talking about working. I'm not talking about you having some sort of work to do. Strike some deal with God. He's talking about letting God work His salvation in you. This way, I appreciate that preaching this morning, and I have no issue at all, man, preaching on original sin. Amen. There is such a thing. I never dreamed. I didn't know, Brother Mike, that stuff was even up for debate, to be honest. And maybe it's just the way I was brought up, but as I've got saved, I mean, didn't nobody have to convince me otherwise. And there's this debate going around about original sin. And man ain't born a sinner, he becomes a sinner. I got news for you, is born in sin. These guy used to come here and he's turned from all that and he denies original sin. And he'd take that verse over there where David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That ain't David blaming his mama. That's David admitting, "I have a problem with sin in my nature." And they're slandering David's mama. Said David conceived him in an adulteress or through adultery or fornication. That's slandering David's mother. You don't know that. Amen. You got to make that stuff up. You got to read that. Brother Sam Allen said you got to read that in other books. You don't read that out of the Bible. I believe that's right. You got to read that. You got to read that out of the, amen, the other books. I'm going to tell you, everybody that's breathing in this place today, you is born in sin. Amen. That's why the Bible's so dogmatic. You must be born again. And you need not understand anything beyond John 3 to understand there's original sin. You was born in sin the first time. That's why you must be born again. Amen. Jesus spells it all out clear and plain. So if you're here today and you're not saved, boy, I'm telling you, prayers have been prayed for you today. The message has been preached to you today. Jesus calls to you today, and thank God you can be saved. Thank you, preacher.